Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Okay, so I have a show and tell for you, and it is your bulletin, and particularly the line in your bulletin right after the sermon that says, Him. See that right there? Him. Excellent. Good work, everyone. Now, the hymn right after the sermon is a paraphrase of the Apostles' Creed. So it's not exactly the words of the Apostles' Creed, but the Apostles' Creed is this ancient statement of faith that dates back at least to the 9th century. Parts of it probably go back earlier than that. That's a long time ago, right? Like, that's older than Jennifer is. and now, if you are looking at a bulletin, I'll show you a bulletin right here. If you are looking at a bulletin, you notice that our congregation sings three hymns in every worship service. So we've got one at the very beginning that we have already sung, because we are down in this little gap right here in the worship service. So we sing a hymn of praise about how great God is. And often that hymn of praise is often like an invitation to please be extra present during this time. Please, God, be with us. So we prayed for God to open the eyes of our heart. And then at the end, we sing a hymn about going out into the world. And so today we're going to sing, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. But in the middle, this hymn right after the sermon is the beginning of part of our service that is responding to what God is saying to us in the scripture reading and in the sermon. And so we respond with prayers and offering and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today, but we also respond with faith, with a statement of faith. And so often that second hymn is some kind of statement of faith, saying, okay, we have a different sense of who God is because of what we've read and talked about today. So today it is literally a statement of faith, right? A statement of faith that the church has used for over 1,000 years. Other times the faith is more kind of implied, right? It's about the kind of God that we're praying to or the way that our relationship with God sounds in that hymn. But that pattern is always there in our worship service. We start with praise, and then we respond, and then we get sent out into the world. We praise, we hear scripture and a sermon, and then we respond and head out into the world. And so that's like practice. That's practice for how we want to respond to God's presence in the world out there, too. We want to praise God in the world out there. We want to listen for God in the world out there. We want to respond with prayer and sharing in the world out there. And everything we do needs to be about serving our neighbors. So this worship service, surprise, this whole worship service is the show and tell. This whole worship service is like training for how we live out there in the rest of the world. Bob's going to read to us a little bit about teaching today.
Lord God, pour out your Spirit upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, and let your word be fulfilled among us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Scripture reading is from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, page 41 in your Bible. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
A couple of months ago, Stephen Colbert, who hosts whichever one of the shows he hosts at 10:35, whenever the news gets done, had the singer Dua Lipa on his show. Dua Lipa is, well, she's a singer, but she's also a sort of burgeoning podcaster. So they were talking about her new podcast, and she's going to be interviewing people on her podcast. So Stephen Colbert said, "Hey, why don't you interview me?" And so without even changing seats, they changed who was in which role. And she asked him about the role that his faith plays in his life and his comedy. And he talked about love and sacrifice and the way that laughter keeps us from fearing death. We actually have Dua Lipa and Stephen Colbert with us this morning. Ryan, would you patch them in for us?
So I think something that your viewers really connect with in your comedy and your hosting skills,
yes,
especially in the past few years, is how open and honest and authentic you are about the role your faith plays in your life.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was wondering, is there any, you know, does your faith and your comedy ever overlap? And does one ever win out?
I think ultimately, us all being mortal, the faith will win out at the end. But I certainly hope when I get to heaven, Jesus has a sense of humor. But I will say this, someone was asking me earlier about what I, this relates to faith, because my faith is involved with, I'm a Christian and a Catholic, and that's always connected to the idea of love and sacrifice being somehow related, and giving yourself to other people, and that death is not defeat, if you can see where I'm getting at there. Someone was asking me earlier, what movie did I really enjoy this year? And I said, well, I really like Belfast, which is Kenneth Branagh's story of his childhood. And one of the reasons I love it is that I'm Irish, and Irish-American, and it's such an Irish movie, and I think this is also a Catholic thing, because it's funny and it's sad, and it's funny about being sad. In the same way, that sadness is like a little bit of an emotional death, but not a defeat if you can find a way to laugh about it. Because that laughter keeps you from having fear of it. And fear is the thing that keeps you from turning to evil devices to save you from the sadness. As Robert Hayden said, we must not be frightened or cajoled into accepting evil as our deliverance from evil. We must keep struggling to maintain our humanity, though monsters of abstraction threaten and police us. So if there's some relationship between my faith and my comedy, it's that no matter what happens, you are never defeated. You must understand and see this in the light of eternity and find some way to love and laugh with each other.
Stephen Colbert, everybody.
So a brief little clear, succinct description of what Christian faith means in one man's life and, in this case, comedy, because that's his job, right? His whole job is to be funny. And so he was able to put together this description of the way that humor keeps us whole and ethical in the face of death, and the way that that relates to his understanding of who God is in the world, complete with an off-the-cuff literary quotation and a movie recommendation. So I love that just non-defensive articulation of the Christian faith. That non-defensive articulation of Christian faith, that is good news, I think, for a world that really longs for depth and authenticity in our life. As somebody who is supposed to talk about Christian faith, whether or not I'm funny for a living, I'm kind of humbled. So we're talking about habits of the gospel this summer, talking about habits that allow us and our lives to be good news for our neighbors. So how is it that teaching the church's teaching can be good news for our neighbors. How is it that our teaching can invite our neighbors into the depth of the Christian faith? When I talk about teaching, I am not talking about convincing someone else to believe what I believe about God. And I'm definitely not talking about winning some kind of legislative debate about the way other people should behave. Each of those may have their place. They're not teaching. We're talking about teaching today. Teaching is about making sense of life today, making sense of life as we live it right now, today, in this moment. And when we're teaching, it is almost always better to say less rather than more. I'm still working on that part. So today's scripture explicitly commands us to teach as we share the gospel. So as we go through the world, we are to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. So we're not just giving away information that someone else should know. Instead, what we're being called to do is to embody and to share a way of living in Jesus Christ. Because we really only learn the gospel from someone else who is deeply living out the gospel around us. Teaching is about sharing a relationship with Jesus in the same way that we might share a favorite delicious recipe, something that comes from deep within our love and that flows out in real, tangible ways. I'm borrowing that analogy from Todd Bolsinger, who teaches us about teaching. So remember, you can always learn more about these habits of the gospel at 8habits.org. You can pull out your phone and do that right now. It's much more interesting than the rest of what I have to say. Todd Bolsinger begins with the question of what kind of document the Bible is. What kind of document is the Bible? And he says it's like a cooking magazine. More than it is like, say, a novel or a textbook. A novel or a textbook are there, what? To entertain you or to give you information. But a cooking magazine is more than that, right? A cooking magazine is full of recipes. And I don't know if you've ever tried to eat a recipe, but they don't taste very good. The way that you get your money's worth out of a cooking magazine is to cook. That's where the actual experience of that good news comes. And what's more, a recipe all by itself does not make you a better cook, right? It at least doesn't begin to make you a cook. Maybe it deepens your cooking. But you get to be a cook through hours and hours of trial and error in the kitchen, and possibly slightly fewer hours of trial and error in the kitchen if you have a really good cook to show you what they're doing in that kitchen. Todd Bolsinger learned to cook from his grandmother. There were not written recipes in his grandmother's kitchen. There were the recipes that she had learned from her late husband. So she handed down her late husband's family recipes, and it was Todd's grandmother who taught everyone in the family how to cook these. It was Todd's aunts and uncles who actually wrote down the recipes just because they knew they couldn't hold all that information in their head. But again, the recipes are not the cooking. Those hours in the kitchen with Todd's grandmother, that was the cooking. So the Bible and the Christian teachings are kind of like a cookbook. They are words that tell us about the richness of Christian life. And they lead us into contemplation about the Christian life. We learn by reflection and by action. But Christian teaching is not first of all about answers. It's not even first of all about thinking about what our life is like. It really is about living. So I had a retired colleague who always said that his favorite sermon feedback, as people are going through shaking his hand in the line at the back of the sanctuary, his favorite sermon feedback was always, "I've never thought about that way before." And I thought, you know, even better feedback would be, "Hey, I'm going to go try that. I'm going to go see what that's like. When Stephen Colbert tells us about the way that laughter frees him from fear, from the fear of death, he is telling some of my truth. That is good news for me. If I answered the same question about how does Christian faith relate to my job, well, I would talk about how important it is to begin with God's boundless love. You have to begin with God's boundless love. And that is comfort for me around some of those big issues like death and salvation, because all that I can imagine is that God loves us far more than we could ever imagine or certainly love anyone else. But that idea, beginning with God's boundless love, it's also challenge and encouragement around those everyday frustrations of life and work in the world that even the person trying my patience right now, and you don't know who you are necessarily, even the person trying my patience right now is God's beloved child. You are God's beloved child. And that's where it starts for me. Even I am God's beloved child, which can be almost as hard to remember and live out, which is why sometimes I have to go back to that very basic starting place. And I find that when I stop and I remember that truth, I can manage to be even more patient and even more brave. And I'm still learning how to live that out, but I know it to be true. That is part of the teaching that I stand on. You might answer differently what role faith has in your life, how your faith relates to the life that you live, but I thank God for all of the ways that we live that faith out and teach that faith to our neighbors and our loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission lifts up Ellipsis, Iowa. Ellipsis is our August Coins for Concern partner. Ellipsis was formed in August 2021 from the joining of two amazing Iowa organizations, Youth Homes of Mid-America and Youth Emergency Shelter and Services. Ellipsis is now Central Iowa's leading organization providing kids and families new opportunities to thrive. Today, with more than 125 years of combined experience to their name, they're both a necessary safety net and a critical resource for families in need. Here is a short video introducing Ellipsis, Iowa.
Introducing Ellipsis, Iowa's new leader in support services for kids and families. Ellipsis brings together Youth Homes of Mid-America and Youth Emergency Services and Shelter to create an expansive critical safety net for kids and families in need. With more resources, comprehensive programming, and a stronger voice for Central Iowa communities, Ellipsis represents a new, future-facing continuum of care that's better equipped to meet our state's evolving needs. Our vision is to break down the barriers between needing and receiving care, to become a no-wrong-door provider for kids and families of every age and background. Through our essential programming, we work between what is and what's possible to overcome turbulent pasts and create opportunities for open-ended success. Here, kids discover who they are and who they want to be, enabling them to regain control of their lives. By providing care, encouragement, and skills development needed for a lifetime of success, we are rewriting stories and empowering people to keep thriving together. We are Ellipsis, and we connect kids and families with healthy, successful futures.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.